This message has the potential, as much or more than any other message you might have heard this or will hear this year. This message has more or as much of a potential to impact your life this morning. But with that, I want to say that it is also one of the easiest ones to shake off. It's one of the easiest sermons you will hear that you can pretend that it's for someone else. It's not for me. It has the potential to impact your life, but you can also say, maybe this one's not for me. Maybe this one is for someone else. Maybe someone else needs to hear it. This one is for you. But we learned last week that we all tell lies, and we raised our hands at who has ever lied, and the one who didn't raise the hand, we all looked at him, but there was no one to be found. But we discovered that the person you lie to the most is yourself. And one of the biggest lies that we tell ourselves is that more is better. That's one of the biggest lies that we tell ourselves, is that more is better. If we reflect back to the first lie ever told by the serpent in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve, was they were there naked and in love, enjoying paradise, and then the serpent came and said, did God really say that you cannot eat? Because if you eat, you will become like God, knowing good and evil. Essentially, the message from the serpent then is the same message we hear today over and over and over again. That what you don't have is not what you need to be happy. You need more. The lie is that what you have is not enough to make you happy. It's not enough to make you fulfilled. It's not enough to make you content. That is the lie. Every marketing advert, every time you watch TV or you scroll social media, you get the message that what you have is not what you need to be happy, fulfilled, and content. More is always better. Why? Because the lie we tell ourselves and the lie we believe is that more is always better. The lie is, what do you need to be happy? The lies we believe to be happy is that we need more money, more influence, more time, more retirement, more fun, more toys, more shoes, more purses, more muscles, more watches, more houses, more cars, more likes, more followers, more views, more gadgets, more TV, more luxury, more attention, more books, more vacation, more success, more respect, more fame, more recognition, more awards, more income, more credibility, more strength. You need more, you need more, you need more, because more is always better. That's the biggest lie that we tell ourselves. But what if the stuff you have is keeping you from the life you want? What if the stuff you have is what keeping you from the life you want? And we are continuing our sermon series on habits of a healthy heart. And today we are talking about the habit of simplifying, when less is better. And we go all the way to Acts chapter 27, and I'll just give some background to Acts. You can go and read 27 afterwards. And Paul was imprisoned on a boat with some other few prisoners and some soldiers, and they were on their way somewhere. Presume Rome, because he was to appear in front of Rome. But then, when they went along their journey, the southeastern wind took them off course, and they were lost at sea. I am paraphrasing. But eventually they came back and they saw some land there. And after 14 days of not eating, no sun to be seen, they were in the storm for 14 days not eating. Paul finally said, somewhere in these events, Paul said, guys, an angel of the Lord spoke to me and none of us will perish. None of us will perish. Not a hair on your head will be damaged from what is about to happen. And he broke bread, and they all ate. And it says there, then they all were encouraged and ate some food themselves. We were in all 276 persons in the ship. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. Because they saw a beach that they can crash into to make a safe landing. So why would they lighten the ship? They lightened the ship, they threw out what they didn't need, they all ate what they until they had enough, and they threw overboard what they didn't need. Why lighten the ship? Because less is better. It makes the ship go faster so that they can outrun and avoid as much rocks as possible to crash into the beach and get safely to shore. And as they were stranded, the waves made the boat crash. They had wood and stuff that they could get to shore and be safe. And some of the soldiers even wanted to kill some of the prisoners that wanted to attempt to escape, but no one escaped. And at some point, they wanted to drop an anchor and use the lifeboats. And Paul said, no. God said, if you remain on the ship, you will be spared. If you go overboard, you will not be spared. So they cut the lifeboats. They crashed in. You can read it. I'm paraphrasing. But the gist is that they all were encouraged and ate some food for themselves. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea because they didn't need the extra. But the thing is, what is enough? Enough is when you have what you need. That is when you have enough. Enough is when you have what you need. And so to practice the habit of simplifying, we are going to learn a phrase, and it goes like this. I have enough. Say it with me. I have enough. But the problem is we don't believe we have enough. If we want to practice the habit of simplicity, we need to learn a prayer together. And it's an extremely dangerous prayer, and we're going to pray it this morning, that it is a dangerous prayer, but pray it earnestly. And it goes like this. God, give me less of what doesn't matter. God, give me more of what does matter. And I believe in a God that answers prayers. Because there's so many prayers just in the last 24 hours that I can reflect on that God answered. So if you pray this, no, God is going to come and do something. God, give me less of what doesn't matter. And God, give me more of what does matter. But maybe you're sitting here at this point of the sermon, you're just feeling, I want to pray that prayer, but I'm just not there yet. It's okay. We're on the boat of the sermon called The Habits of a Healthy Heart, Part 2, and we will get to the ending, and it will not be a crash landing, and you'll be able to pray this prayer. So let's look at another verse, Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21, and it says, this is Jesus speaking, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. God, give me less of what doesn't matter. Because what use is the material? What use is the physical? Because the spiritual is what will last into eternity. And that is what Jesus is saying. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. If you are focused on the here and the now, that's what you will work towards. But if your focus is heaven, you will be working towards heaven. But let's look at that. Because last week we heard this, that if you want to change your life, change your habits. And if you want to change your habits, let God change your heart. Jesus says, don't store up, don't accumulate, don't hoard, Don't accumulate a bigger bank balance, because some people put their security in money and then they no longer put their security in God. We all know that last week of just before the pay comes in, just like, ah. Then all of a sudden you are this other person and life just feels so heavy. And the moment the notification comes in, salary's been paid in, oh, life is so good. Why? Because money is determining your mood. So where do we find our security? It's when we find our security in money and not God. Our bank balance determines our mood. That's an easy way to determine where is my heart when it comes to security in money. Does my bank balance affect my mood? How I feel about life, the way I view life? And I'm praying, may we come to a place where we don't put our security in money, but in God. Because whatever that is what it is. It's material. It's ones and zeros balancing out or not balancing out. But we put our security in money. Or we say, I want a new outfit. Why? Because I feel empty and I want external attention to fill an internal void. I want to remodel my kitchen again. Why? Because my marriage is going through a difficult time and maybe that will make the house look fresh again. And you just don't want to face the real issue, which is there's some issues at home that need some attention. Or a new car. Why? To impress people you don't like with money you don't have. To put on a false display of success. Why? We want less of what doesn't matter. So what do? Hebrews tells us so beautifully, and it speaks of two things, but I'll speak of the one of those two things in Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2, where it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight, and sin, which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us lay aside every weight, everything that's weighing you down. Let us strip ourselves of everything we don't need, because it slows us down. It interferes. Let's go of the stuff. Let's let go of the weight. I mean, some of us, our closets are so full, there's not even space. When you open that door, you know there's not going to be a mouse because there's not space for a mouse, because that's how full the closets are. And you can't even remember the last time that you used something in there. It's just full of stuff. Or our garages are so full of stuff that we rent second storage spaces. I don't know about you guys, but there are some people out there that rent storage space to store their stuff, that they pay money for to store their stuff, that they obviously don't have a need of. And we just hoard more and more and more. Maybe someone needs to hear this. Throw out as if your life depends on it. Why? Because it does. Maybe it's something else for you. Maybe you have an unhealthy relationship to something that's too much, that's a weight that's weighing you down. Maybe it's not a physical material thing. Maybe there's some spiritual stuff that we are hoarding onto. But here's some advice, or just some life tip 101. If you haven't used it in the last year, then you can just as well get rid of it or bless someone with it. Some need to let go of a schedule. We are so full of our to-do list. Maybe you need to create a not-to-do list to say, I will not overschedule myself. I will not work more than what is needed. I will not neglect my family. I will not let this get to me. I will not watch TV. Maybe some of us need less of a to-do list than a not-to-do list, because we just fill ourselves so much. And sometimes you can just speak to people and you're like, hey man, how's it going? No, busy. Because some of us interpret us saying busy means it's going good. No, if you are too busy, if busy is your response, then maybe you're not a good steward of God, of what God has put you in charge of. Because if you are busy, it means you're not getting to what you should be getting to. But when you can say, no, I'm blessed. Work is, you know, there's so much work to do, but I'm blessed. What's this busy? Busy is, I'm important. I've got something better to do. I'm filling my schedule so much that I'm not a good steward. But we say, no, it's busy. It's not busy. We need to steward where God has put us. And maybe too much time on social media. Every free moment, social media or Netflix. Whatever it is in your life, strip every weight that slows you down. Strip every weight that slows you down. Because Ecclesiastes 4 verse 6 in the NET says, better is one handful with some rest than two handfuls full of toil and chasing of wind. God give me less of what doesn't matter. God give me more of what does matter. Why is one handful better? It's enough. It's less of what doesn't matter, and it makes room for more what does. If I have one handful, I have my mic, one handful. I can do so much more. I can hug. I can help. I can give. I can encourage. I can praise. I can surrender. Better is one handful with some rest than two handfuls full of toil and chasing the wind. But if I have two hands full, what can I do? I can't hold on to anything. I can't even pick up my Bible to do something with it. I can't hug a brother because maybe I'll drop something that's important. But that's what we do. We don't even do this. We like do this and wear something else. And just we walk around like this and say, oh, busy, man. Life's blessed. No, man. Better is one hand full with some rest than two hands full of toil and chasing in the wind. Because now you have two hands full. You can't even drive your car because your hands are too full. But better is one hand full, because then you'll still be able to get some rest, than two handfuls, and you'll always neglect what's truly important. To have more of what matters most, we need to know what does matter most. Oh, awesome, Pastor, you're saying, okay, cool, I can focus on what really matters. What does really matter? It's because you can be so busy chasing in the wind with two hands full that you don't realize what matters most until you lose a loved one. Or until you visit the doctor for a headache and you get news that you have 3 months left to live. Then suddenly what used to seem important is no longer important. But the problem is that we sometimes realize it when it's too late. It is easy to shrug off the sermon and say, this one is not for me. Maybe it's for someone else. Or maybe this is God saying to you, before it's too late, change course. Let go of some stuff. So what does matter most? Your relationship with God. Your relationship with your spouse. Your relationship with your children. Making a difference. Serving in church. Showing God's love to those around you. Being sober. And for your loved ones to know Christ, that is what's truly important. To live a life dedicated to following Jesus and sharing it with those around you. And I just want to share some of my personal life in this moment because, man, I was so guilty of this. And it would have been better if my wife wasn't standing there, but there she is, looking beautiful as always. But Saturdays used to be another work day for me. Saturdays was a goal for me to see how much work or extra stuff I can fit into a Saturday. Until God spoke to me and helped me realize that I'm missing time with my wife. I'm missing time with my son. I'm missing time with family because my Saturdays were so full of meeting the next deadline. Because for us on a Saturday, and I'm sure for most of you, Saturday is the one day of the week where there's no work to be done. If you're working a normal Monday to Friday. And Sundays, mornings, then we come here, we fellowship, we worship, then we go home. But Saturdays was the one day of the week that there was nothing. And I jammed it full of meeting my Monday deadline of assignments, getting work done, doing other stuff, other than spending it with my family. And the thing is, if you don't have enough time to get to something that's not important, and you put that aside to get to something that is important, God's grace will carry you through. I've seen it time and time again. You can never turn back the clock. Lost time is lost. When you find out you have months left to live, do you know what will not be on your list? A new leather sofa, a new Apple Watch, or new countertops, or a new car, or a new wardrobe, or more shoes, or a new phone, or that 65-inch flat-screen TV. None of that will matter. None of that will matter. The most meaningful things in life are not things. When I look back at my life, at my marriage, you and I, we were talking about in this week, is what I remember are the memories, are the moments. It's the spontaneous outings, the spontaneous driving around for a whole day, just going from one shop to the other. It's not what we do at the shops, it's the time spent together, just spontaneous waking up one morning. Hey, do you want to do 1, 2, 3? Yes, let's do it. That is what we remember. That is what I remember. It's not the events, it's the moments we spend together. With Nathan, what I remember is the bond we are forming and seeing him growing up, spending time with him, getting random ice creams, taking him to play at Spur and just seeing that smile on his face. In ministry, it's to see how people are transformed by the power of the gospel. It's to see you all grow up in your, or not grow up, grow in your relationship with God and seeking God more and more, taking one step closer to Jesus. That for me is fulfillment in ministry. That for me is fulfillment in ministry. It's to see people grow and being transformed by the power of the gospel, because I have nothing to do with it. It's God doing it. And that is so awesome. Better is one handful with things that matter than two handfuls with things that don't. God, give me less of what doesn't matter. Give me more of what does. And I was listening to a sermon by Sir Timothy Keller, and I just felt to quote some of what he was saying. He was saying, you can say you believe in God. He was speaking about false idols. You can say you believe in God, and you can say, I know God forgave me, but I cannot forgive myself. He's saying what that really means is that you believe in God in the abstract, that he's there. He's a theological thing you can think about. And you know he forgives me in the abstract. But your real God is punishing you. And you have nothing higher to appeal to. You see, if the main thing in your life is this or that and you failed it, your career can die on the cross for your sins. And if you fail in your career and that's the main thing you're looking for, false gods cannot forgive your sins. They can just punish you for your sins. So if you have a bad relationship with work and you fail it, it will punish you. But the true God is the one that died for your sins. They will punish you all of your life because you failed him or this or that. Only the true God died on the cross for your sins. Where are your gods when suffering comes? They abandon you. In that sermon, he was sharing that he was going into the operating room and all his loved ones are with him, sending him messages. They are there. But the moment you go through the operating room to the waiting area, you are alone. And you only have God with you. And he ironically says, yes, there's some doctors there, but they are kind of the problem at the moment. So they are going to cut him up. Where are your gods when suffering comes? They abandon you. The true God is the only thing you cannot lose. You will lose your career. You will lose your looks. You will lose your loved ones. You will go through pain. You will lose everything, but you will never lose the true God. No false God can help you. They abandon you. Therefore, it is vital that you see where your heart really is. What matters most? Let's say it. I have enough. And say it. I have enough. There's some small murmurs. But I don't believe you because that statement is incomplete. Because I have Jesus, I have enough. And some of you are saying, I have Jesus, but I still don't have enough. Forget the TV. I don't even have a job. I've got bills to pay and they are just stacking up. I want to read for you Philippians 4, verse 12 to 13. That speaks into that. And Paul is writing to the Philippians and he's saying, I know how to be brought low. And I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him, which is Christ, who strengthens me. Probably the most misquoted verse because it's not speaking about what you can achieve in the Olympics or in your career. He's speaking about being brought low and abounding in every circumstance, facing plenty and hunger, facing abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. We can face the good and the bad of life because Christ is the one who strengthens us. When we are well fed, when I'm well fed, I have Jesus. But the reality is that when I'm hungry, I still have Jesus. When I have plenty, I have Jesus. When I have nothing, I still have Jesus. Because I have Jesus, I have enough. And some of you say, I have Jesus, but I still want more. Because Jesus is still in the background of your life. Because when Jesus is in the background, He's easy to miss. When He's in the front, He's impossible to miss. When you put Jesus in the forefront of your life, He's not just a historical figure. He's not just someone that lived over 2,000 years ago that many people write about. He is your closest friend. He's your counselor. He's your confidant. He's your comforter. When something starts to change in you, we begin to understand what Paul is saying. I don't need more because I have Jesus. And because I have Jesus, I have everything I need. So when I'm facing plenty and when I've lost everything, I still have Jesus. And do you want to know how good God is and that we can put our faith and our trust in Him? Is because when I lose something, I know God will get me through it. He's not going to abandon me. He's not going to abandon me. He will not abandon you. It doesn't matter what I have because I have Jesus. And because I have Jesus, I have all I need. When Jesus is in front and center of your life, you can say, I have enough. I don't need more things. I need more Jesus. When you get into a vehicle accident or in a car accident or tragedy happens in that car, you don't need a pile of cash next to you in the car. You need Jesus in the car with you. When you're wheeled into the operation room, you don't need more followers. You need more Jesus. When you send your kids out into the world, you don't want to send them into the world with name brand shoes and clothes. You want to send them into the world with Jesus in their heart. And when your life comes to the final days, you go into eternity. And Paul learned the secret of being content. Jesus. Jesus. You can do all things through Christ. You could face plenty and hunger, abundance and need, because Jesus. If you are sick, He's your healer. If you are hurting, He's your comforter. If you're sad, He will give you joy. If you're stuck in sin, He will save you. The habit of simplifying. And then we can come and pray and say, God, this is a dangerous prayer. You can say, God, give me less of what doesn't matter and give me more of what does. Why? Because your life is too valuable. Your calling is too great. God is too good to waste your life on things that don't last. Because I have Jesus, I have enough. And I pray that the prayer of your heart is, God, give me less of what doesn't matter. God, give me more of what does. Lay down every weight. Throw stuff off the boat. Get rid of stuff that's weighing you down. What you don't need, get rid of it. So that you can focus on what matters most. And your heart can say, because I have Jesus, I have enough. Let us pray. Father, I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, and I pray that you will work in us and through us, that we can lay down every weight that is slowing us down and weighing us down. That we see you for who you truly are, Father, so that we can put our trust in you and not in things. Because God, you have called us to do something, and that something is what really matters. And the enemy tries to take our focus away, and I pray against that in the mighty name of Jesus, because Jesus, you have laid down your life so that we can be free. You laid down your life so that we can experience everlasting life with you in your presence here on earth and in heaven. And I pray, Father, that we be set free of what doesn't matter, so we can take on what does matter. In your mighty name I pray. Amen and amen.